Would you do service? You can be seated.
Sunday school, you can be seated. Thank you. No, I'm not teaching on superheroes. Everybody see him? 1952, the year after I was born, the first superhero I ever saw was Superman. He was the Cape Crusader. He was a man of steel, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, stronger than a locomotive, bend steel in his bare hands, so they say. Yes, right. Anything else? What else? Huh? He what? Faster than a speeding bullet. Thank you. And his name was... Thank you. He went on and was a superhero for a lot of years for some people. For me, probably my first superhero that I ever got acquainted with. I borrowed these from, believe it or not, a music teacher that has this hanging in his office. Don't ask me why. He's a Batman freak. And that came from the library that I borrowed from the wonderful library teacher. But today's lesson is not about superheroes. It's about what we've been teaching about the heroes in whom we can believe. Amen? I'm going to do a lot of reading today, but before I start, I'm going to preface by reading something off of a blog. To me, what a true hero really, really is. And it starts out with a question. Should a Christian be involved in mentoring? What does the Bible say about mentorship? I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read a portion of it. The word mentor is defined as a wise and trusted counselor or teacher. Although mentoring doesn't appear in the Bible, Scripture does give us numerous examples of mentoring. Moses was mentored by his father-in-law Jethro, first as a son-in-law, then as a leader in Exodus 18. The mentoring relationship between Eli and Samuel prepared Samuel for the tasks and the responsibilities that were his after Eli's death in Samuel, 1 Samuel. Jesus mentored his disciples in Luke. Both Barnabas and Paul excelled in mentoring in Acts 9. Jesus made his style of mentoring clear. He led so that we can follow. He said, if anyone will follow and come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In Matthew 16. Because he, as our leader, we are to follow him. Christian mentoring is a process dependent upon submission to Christ. Neither the mentor nor the candidate controls the relationship. As such, the process is best characterized by the mutual sharing of trust and enrichment as the life and the work of both participants is changed. The mentor serves as a model and a trusted listener. The mentor relies on the Holy Spirit to provide insight, to change lives, and to teach through the modeling process. The Apostle Paul spelled out mentoring as his leadership model, very simple. Follow me, or myself, examples as followed in Christ in Corinthians, it talks about. Whatever you have learned and received, have heard, he said, from me, or seen in me, do. But put it into practice, it said in Philippians. In essence, he is saying, let me mentor you. Let me be your role model. He reminds the new Christians at the Thessalonica to follow our example. As a teaching example or a model, these are all the facets of mentoring which are indispensable in developing a fully devoted follower of Jesus and in transmitting the faith from one generation to the next. It goes without saying that if a mentor is expected to follow or to follow their example, they must be wholeheartedly committed in following Christ. Any hint of hypocrisy, do what I say, not what I do, will be detrimental to both the member and his charge. It goes on, I don't want to read the whole thing because I've got a lot of reading, but thank God I had some wonderful mentors I've mentioned before behind this pulpit in my life. Where would I be without the mentors in my life? The examples, and I'm not talking about these kind of guys that the world would look to, or the superhero, or the sports star, or the entertainer, or the actor, or the politician, or even the president. They've got placement, they have callings, but they'll never take the place of our Lord in your life. Like I said, I've got 16 directions I could read and go. But you can't ever go wrong, ever, to go astray when you obey God. Because you know what the consequences will always be. The consequences for obedience are always good. Amen? Could they be good or painful? Yeah. At the same time, yes, they could. But there's lessons to be learned even in the pain. Remember this one thing. If you don't remember anything I say this morning, remember this. Remember, God is responsible for the consequences of our obedience. If you don't get anything out of this today, get that. And I'm going to say it again. God is responsible for the consequences of our obedience. We do what we do, what we should do. Like I said it before, when you've done your all and done your best, God will take care of the rest. Did Mary think it was a responsible thing to do? And that's what my lesson's about today, about Mary. I'm not the one to be teaching about women, but I have a little experience. But not so much about Mary. I've had friends that were Catholic that talked and put Mary up probably higher than she should have been. But Mary, in this lesson, plays a great role in God's plan. Did Mary think it was a reasonable thing to obey God's plan for her life? Reasonable or unreasonable? She decided to believe and obey and trusting in God's plan, didn't she? Praise the Lord. Or she would have been probably replaced with someone else. And not by these guys. He has a calling on every one of your lives. Whether you'll ever recognize that or not, everyone sitting here today in this house of God has a calling on your life. Little or small, big or great, far away or close hand, you have a calling of some kind in your life to do something in the kingdom of God. Okay, I'm going to do a bunch of reading. I get a half hour, is that all I get? There's no way I'm going to get through all this, but here goes. In Luke, Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. So all of a sudden we got Mary on the scene getting talked to by an angel and being called upon to do something to serve in God's plan, right? In Luke, the first chapter, the 26th verse through chapter 38, if you want to read along. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to be a man whose name was Joseph, and the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among the women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind, "What manner of salutation is this to become? And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive, and in thy womb bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age." And I was asking my wife, how did she get an older cousin? But I guess it's possible. "And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed. Basically, what she said was, "Be it unto me." In other words, not my will, but thy will. How many times God asked you to do that? Not your will, my will. And we step back and go, easier said than done. That requires denial, sacrifice. Don't pamper myself. I want it, but the Lord's got a different direction to go. How many missionaries have done that? Pastors, or evangelists, or Sunday school teachers, or saints, or helps in the church, or administration in headquarters, decided, or they had a life and a plan. I remember Mark Dameron playing football and going to his games, and with Brother Davis, watching that kid just sprint across the sandwich football field, and he did really well. So did Mason. But all of a sudden, it registered in his heart and his mind, God's got a new direction. And he was willing to sacrifice, surrender, turn his direction, and where did he go? Bible school. He might have made it. I have a friend also, Garrett Gilkey, that's come to this church, that walked up my driveway, 17 years old, freckle-faced, skinny kid, with big plans. We got to hang out a few years. Next thing I know, we're working building trucks, and he's telling me, "I'm going to go to college. I'm going to play football. I'm playing at Aurora Christian. Don Beebe's my mentor. I'm going to Shadrach, Nebraska, and I'm going to go in the NFL. Good luck with that." He did it. But when he did it, he went to Cleveland Browns with Lovie Smith, left there, went to Tampa Bay, left there, hurt his knee. God, and maybe a different plan. I don't know. But he's in Tampa right now, flipping houses, buying and selling houses. But sometimes I've been told by different people that have known Garrett and his family in town here that have done lots of work at their house, Garrett used his platform, to what degree, I don't know, as a Christian, to share his faith. He's been to Sandwich High School. He's been to Harvest Chapel. He's been to different places. But he took what God gave him to some extent and was willing to use the abilities, the skills, the talents, the time, the treasure, whatever God placed in his life to be a steward to use. Mary was willing to be used. Tom said something to me 10 years ago probably. He says, stuck with me ever since he said it. And he said it right at the exact time in my life. Be willing and available. No amens on that one? You can say amen anytime you want. You can throw something at me, whatever you want. The focus for this lesson, I know I'm not going to get through all this. Brother Wells, tell me when I'm done. Mary was willing to submit to the will of God and become the mother of Jesus Christ, assisting in his ministry and receiving his spirit. She was only a small part of that whole plan that God wanted to implement and initiate for all of mankind to find salvation. But he used Mary just like he used John the Baptist, just like he used the Apostle Paul or Timothy or any of the other people or our pastor. Or other pastors, or other people. When God lives in eternity, he can see the whole scheme, the whole entire picture, who to orchestrate, who to put where, what to do when. I'm not saying he makes us puppets. I'm not saying that at all. But he'll use people, if they're willing and available, to be a part of his plan through the whole process to save mankind. Will we be a part of that? Or will we step back and say, I got too many vacations to go on. I got too many houses to fix. I've got too many jobs to secure. I got too many friends to go see. And you start walking around and thinking, I want to go to school. I want to go to Wyatt like my son did. I'm going to go get my education. I'm going to be a mechanic. And then there's times in your life become the gearhead mechanic like me, and all you want to just work in old Chevy trucks for 10 years. Been there, done that. Almost lost my family over it. That's keeping it real. I almost lost my family. Thank for a wife that will give you tough love. Thank God for a wife that will give you tough love. Don't enable your spouse. If they're backslidden, they need God, don't enable them. I'm not saying hurt them. Don't reject them, but don't enable them. There's times in your life you're going to, ha, 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 I'm young. I'm going to the gym. I'm going to get me some muscle. Been there, done that. I was a garbage man for 3 years. I had more muscle than anybody in this place. Now it's in a different shape. Been there, done that. I'm messing up my hair. Some of you, your grandpas and grandmas, that's great. Haven't done that yet. Want to. So I adopt Abby. I adopt the little ones and say, you be my kid for the day? She's a sweetheart. She reminds me so much. My autumn. There's a sports fan, people. That's their heroes. Never been mine too much, but I'm more of a gearhead. Fix a Chevy truck and build a hot rod, and that's more my hero kind of guys, drag racers. And you got the heroes that I see in the school I work in. They're PE teachers. They got positive attitudes. Are they Christian totally? No. But I see the mentoring, that they're willing. They're willing to do. The other day, I went out to my truck or the Tahoe and came back in for something. I forgot what I was even doing. There was a kid standing outside. And the athletic director was talking to him inside the building right before the boys went out to play football. Pulled him aside, the athletic director pulled him aside. He's a good guy. The athletic director's a great guy. I really like him. Him and I get along great. I work with him real close with the events and stuff. But he pulled this kid aside, and the kid kind of looked a bit upset. And I don't know what this athletic director said to him. But later on, half hour later, I go back outside again to do something. And the kid's standing outside, and he's looking really forlorn and distraught. I'm seeing him. I'm going out to my truck. I'm on the way back. He's still standing there. And I said, man, it's 90 degrees out here. Why don't you come inside? It's hot. I'm okay. You sure? Yeah, I'm okay. I went out again. I'd do something. Come back in. He's still out there. I wanted so bad to walk up and pray for him. But I didn't feel the liberty at the school outside the door to do that. I probably should have. But sometimes you do stuff like that, and the kid tells the parent, and the parent tells the administrator, and the administrator comes to you. So what are you doing? Been there, done that. Ouch. I wish I had the liberty. I got a job to do when I'm at the school. I see 900 kids. So far from God. But I see teachers that care. You know what's kind of great? Mr. Goneman at the high school. He's 70-some years old, and I think he teaches advanced algebra, calculus. I'm not sure which. He has a Bible study group after school with the kids in the high school, and Yorkville allows it. I see an email the other day on my phone. There's another guy that has a prayer group at the high school that invites people, and the district allows it. God's opening doors in schools. Not for this kind of stuff. They see enough of this. All day long, pumped in their brain through media, social media, entertainment, sports, videos, smartphones. I'm probably not going to get anywhere near teaching. I don't know what I wanted to say. Lord gave me this hat 3 years ago. You see what it says? Jerusalem. I want this one. That's the hat I want to wear when the Lord comes back, because I want to go to the New Jerusalem. That should get a lot of amens. This is the hat that means more to me that I've probably protected about all the hats. I got twice that many more at home. I'm just a hat guy. When you lose your hair, you become a hat guy. Brother Wells, he missed that when he wasn't listening. Gary, are you a hat guy?
Yep.
There's times in our lives, seasons in our lives, that we're going to put on a lot of different hats, and you have to be able to shift gears, transition, like he has taught. Be flexible. Don't be rigid. And when God calls you to do something, and be like Mary, yes, Lord. Samuel, David, Paul, Timothy, John the Baptist, on and on and on and on, the heroes of faith in Hebrews. Back to my notes. That was free. Mary bore a child unlike any other, and raised him just like any other. She led him to the work in which he was born and was followed him up the hill for which he was born. She watched a spear pierce his side and simultaneously felt the sword pierce his own soul. She mourned at the closed tomb, and after only 3 days celebrated at the empty one. She watched Jesus disappear into the clouds and then rejoiced at his return in a mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire. Why? Because she was willing at the get-go to be where God wanted her to be and take the path God chose for her to follow. She would have never been at Pentecost or at the tomb or at the ascension had she not been the Mary, the virgin. He would have picked somebody else because he had a plan. He didn't have plan B. I think he had one plan he knew would work. I don't think God has plan A, B, or C. I think he knows enough living in eternity that plan A is the one I'm going to use. Whether we're going to be a part of that, that's up to us. Amen? All right. Submission to the will of God. I'm going to read lengthy, so don't fall asleep on me. Inherent in a man's sinful nature is the compulsion to enjoy self-rule. I want to do my own thing. One need only attempt to train a toddler that no means, no to witness this is a painful and frustrating clear manner. Our flesh does not enjoy being told what to do. If you do, you're not normal. Amen. Each of us, from the early days of our lives, must repeatedly learn the art and the skill of submission. Wives, as Christy wipes her eyes, for it simply does not come naturally or easily, does it? This truth is in the natural realm is certainly displayed in a spiritual world as well. Man does not, and in and of himself, possess a natural desire to say yes to the Lord's will when it's difficult to carry it out. We shy away, don't we? Precisely for this reason, Mary is such an admirable role model in a Christian discipline. I said years ago, a Christian should be the most disciplined person on this planet Earth. We have all the power, the ability, the resources. And why don't we? Because we don't submit. For precisely this reason, Mary is such an admirable role model in Christian discipline. Mary readily and willingly submitted to the will of God for her life in spite of the fact that to do so would result in a tarnishing her reputation and bearing the associated harsh words and stares of her peers. I'm not going to church. Somebody might think I'm funny if I go to church. Peer pressure. I'm not talking about Jesus at work. Peer pressure. I'm not going to put nothing on Facebook about God. Peer pressure. You hide your lighting under a bushel? Back to this guy. Superman, what did he do? He hid his identity until what? He was needed and called upon to do something. Step into action, spring into action, right? Don't ever hide your identity of being a Christian. Us being the children of God should be a bright and shining light, a city set on a hill. Never be ashamed of it. Lord said, if you're ashamed of me, what did he say? I'll be ashamed of you. Mary was never ashamed, even though she would have had to face the shame, thinking wrong thoughts. But God protected her. God gave her the grace, and He'll give you the grace, whatever He calls you to do. This is a word I wasn't even sure about what it even meant until I looked it up. Annunciation. The announcement of the Gabriel, the angel, to Mary, that she would conceive and bear a child, and he would be the Son of God. Mary's cousin Elizabeth was in the sixth month of her own miraculous pregnancy when Mary received the heavenly visitor Gabriel and the archangel himself. Mary was a maiden living in the city of Nazareth at the time. And Nazareth is located in Galilee in the northern reaches of Palestine, and was a rather insignificant little village of approximately 2,000 people in that day, but it was located near a major trade route in Egypt and via Marius. While not mentioned in the Old Testament, the writings of Josephus or the rabbinical manuscripts, Nazareth is mentioned as an inscription in Caesarea as the home of the priestly order. God knows every iota what he's doing. As evidenced by the fact that the archaeological digs there have failed to turn up any remains bearing the pagan symbols. In other words, it was a pretty good place to fill out God's plan. She didn't have a lot of resistance or people maybe looking at her, down looking at her. In this wholesome environment, Mary grew and matured into a young woman whose example of godliness attracted heaven's attention. She was about to realize the joy of all the young ladies of being united in marriage with her espoused husband Joseph. While he was awaiting that happy day, and the angel Gabriel informed her that God had noticed her purity. I said it to my niece at a wedding last Friday. The youngest of my niece's kids, in other words, my sister's kids' kids. Great niece, am I right? Some kids you just connect with, like Abby. You just like, you want to crush them. You want to squeeze them. They're so cute and lovable, and that's my niece. Her and I just, you know, you connect. Some people you connect with, and some people you don't. I don't care if you know them for 40 years, you don't connect with them. Some you just automatic, right? You know what I mean. This one's a connector. And I took her. The world wants to steal every bit of purity that God wants to give you. Whether it's on the job or via media or by the entertainment trash you watch that you shouldn't be watching. And you wonder why you think the way you think. Garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. Media in, media out. You're going to live it out in actions. Wherever you allow to come into your life, you're going to live it out. It's going to be ingrained in your heart and your soul and your life and your logic, your thinking, your morals, your values, your principles, your precepts, your concepts of life. It will have an effect. I don't want to get preachy. I'm not up here to preach. You monitor what comes in and what goes out. You're the regulator, what comes in and what goes out. The Lord said, you'll know them by their fruits. Comes in, it's going to come out eventually. Okay. Chosen by God in order to comprehend what must have gone through Mary's mind at that moment, it is necessary to realize that the anticipation of the Messiah's arrival was a daily hope for the persecuted nation of Israel. Roman domination had paved the way of this people to look with a great longing for the Redeemer to come. We're doing that today. Hey, we're still here. The world didn't end on the 23rd like they said it was going to. So I guess God had a different plan, huh? So many people I'm looking and seeing and going, you might want to rethink that and putting that out there. It's like, you know, I see what's going on and I get that. But start setting dates. You could do all the numbers and juggle the numbers biblically and prophetically all you want. forwards, backwards, up, down, sideways, and come up with a date, it's got to happen. No, it doesn't. Because by the time you think it does, he'll change his and say, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Right? It's just like I was talking to a brother before church. What God did in Tampa Bay and different bays in Florida. He can't part the Red Sea. He didn't have any problem moving all the water out of the bays in Tampa, Florida, and Florida in the last couple of weeks, did he? What's so hard about parting the Red Sea? Right? Nothing's too hard for my God. I got 1 minute, and I got to shut up. I'm going to hit it, maestro. I want to read this to you. Sister Wells, can I call upon you to put some music together? I don't care what it is, as long as it's not jazz, to play along with that. Go ahead. Anything, just background noise. All I'm asking for is some background music. Drummers, can I get a drummer? Any other musician, singer? We're going to do this. We're going to call it, it's called Winging It. I don't want to cut into too much time. My wife knows, my kids know, and I've wore them out, but I'm a big fan of Jason Crabb. Who knows who Jason Crabb is? Four people. You guys are too sheltered. Bill knows. He likes my music.
Any old music.
Yeah. Did you start playing something that you think will go along as a melody? And I want us to sing this. We haven't done this. This has been rehearsed. But it's a great message. When I think of all you are in my life, and in my heart no words can say what I feel, because in everything is true. It's what I found in you, Lord. Lord, to me there's nothing so real, and though there is no way I can repay you all you've given, whatever you want. Go ahead and skip to the next frame. I'll live a life that says you give me everything, a song. With every breath I'll make your mercy known. With every soul on earth or all alone, I will love you. Angels see your face to face. If I could, I'd take their place and pour out my heart to you. But what they don't understand is to know your grace firsthand, how it feels to love like I do. Yes, you bring me to my knees with your kindness. There's nothing I can hold back. With all I am and everything I have, I'll dedicate myself to doing one thing well. I'll love you with every breath I'll make. Your mercy known with every soul on earth or all alone. I'll love you. I will love you. You ever get a chance, pick up a Jason Crabb CD and listen to him sing it.
Every secret part, I'm wholehearted in love with you. With my whole heart, I'm gonna love you. With my whole life, Lord, I'll live it for you. Take my every secret part, I'm wholehearted in love with you. Can you sing it with us? With my whole heart, I'm gonna love you. with my whole life. Lord, I live it for you. Take my heart, every secret part, wholehearted in love with you. Sing it one more time. With my whole heart, I'm gonna love you. With my whole life, Lord, I live it for you. Take my heart, every secret part. Thank you, Jesus, for you. Thank you for examples in your word like Mary, the sacrifices she was willing to make just to be obedient, to be submissive to your will, and set her plans aside, God. But she wanted what she desired, came in second, Lord, compared to what you wanted. Lord, you're not asking us for perfection. You're not asking us that we have it all together. You're simply asking us to be willing to be obedient to your word. And like Mary, we could say, be it unto me, Lord, according to thy word. Lord, how you want it is how I want it.
Yes.
Lord, your plans, I want to be my plans. Lord, and if my plans are different from yours, Lord, let my plans conform to yours. Let my will submit to your will, God. Lift our hands and lift our voice. Lord, thank you. The numerous examples we have in Scripture of people who are willing, God, who obeyed your word. And now we even today read about them and their exploits, God, because they were obedient to you. And your will was performed in their lives. We thank you. We thank you, God. Just a few moments, our Sunday school classes will be returning. Here in about 10 minutes, we'll begin our...